We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A strong prayer life is a must if you want to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. That's my thought today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that as a child comes to his father or mother, so we may come to you, that we may cast all of our cares upon you. For Lord, we confess this day that there are many cares in this world of which we are a part. And when we see what Jesus did with his burdens and his cares, grant that we may learn from him. Holy Spirit, speak to us this day through your inspired word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 26th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell down on his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." The Gospel of our Lord. Friends in Christ, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a theologian, though a clear understanding of the Bible's message is very important. To be a witness for Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a bouncing extrovert, but it certainly helps to have a love for people. But to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ, it is mandatory that you have a strong prayer life. And that's what our Lord taught his disciples in this 3-year training period on how to be fishers of people. There are several portions of Scripture that we could have gone to today to bring out this great truth in the life of our Lord. But there is no better example of Jesus at prayer than the night when he and his disciples were together in the Garden of Gethsemane. It had been an emotional day, an emotional evening. They were assembled in the upper room. Our Lord Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper. And as you go through some of the details of that day, you realize that really the feelings were running very high. In fact, Jesus says in our text today, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Now that is really an emotional statement that comes from the divine Son of God and the Savior of the world. You see here the turmoil that is found in Jesus' mind. You get some idea of what he is thinking. For example, he makes a couple of predictions, 3 of them, in fact, that I can think of right now. In the text, he says, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me." In other words, what he is saying is, his best friends are going to leave him. There is that note of lonesomeness. "No one will stand with me." Man, can't you think of what a terrible experience, even from your own life, that must have been to know that he would be alone? It is an awful thing to have to go through difficulties alone ourselves, isn't it? To have to stand at the bedside of a loved one alone and watch that person die? How grateful we are when our relatives and our friends come just to be with us, to hold our hands, to give us strength, to comfort us, to let us know that we are not alone. And yet the Lord Jesus says on this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. That's emotion. And then he goes on and he has a few words with Peter after they've had a discussion. And he said to him, Peter, you've made some marvelous confessions. But tonight, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Oh, no, Lord, that is never going to happen. But we know that Jesus was right, and we know what was going on in his mind. That probably the closest of friends, the one who had done all of the talking, the one whom Jesus had often singled out, would no longer be with him, would in fact even disown him. I never knew him. And then even to disown him with an oath. I tell you, I never knew him. And he had also talked to Judas a bit earlier. And as he looked at that man, he said, you're going to betray me. I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. And Judas stood up and left the room. In other words, Jesus said as he is leaving, that's the one who has turned his back on me, who has sold me. It would have been better for that man had he never been born. Besides this, the cross is now clear in the mind of Jesus. He knew that there was absolutely no way that he could escape that hideous form of dying. There was physical pain that had to be endured. There were nails that had to pierce those hands. And after all, while he is the Son of God, the God incarnate, he nevertheless, during these 33 years, had taken upon him a body, and a body that was just as susceptible to pain as yours or mine today. And think of it, when we are stuck with a needle, how we can shout. But to have a nail pierce the hands. There was also this matter of being separated from his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at that particular time that the sins of the world, including yours and mine, had been placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, who is holy, could have nothing to do with the sins of the world. And so he had turned his back for that period of time on his Son. That was a price that was being paid, friend, that our sins might be taken away. How can anybody turn their back on a Savior who has done that for them? The only way out, the only hope that our sins can be forgiven. And they are in Jesus Christ. But that was pain. Pain that perhaps was even worse than the physical pain. For a little while, he had been separated from his Father. We understand what the writer of the book of Hebrews means when he wrote, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way as we have, yet without sinning. In other words, he says, then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace and find peace to help us in our time of need. In other words, what that writer is saying, because Jesus Christ went through that emotional time that was filled with mental pain and physical pain, he understands every blessed thing that can come to us while we are on this earth. That's a Savior. So when they begin to say that your religion is just one of many, that these religions are all the same, they don't know what they're talking about. All the other religions talk about is keeping the law. But here in our Christian faith, the way to heaven, we learn from our Lord himself that God came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, suffered and died that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sins. That is not co-equal with any religion. That stands by itself, our Savior. But now let's take a look at the prayer. Because we began by saying that if a person is going to be a fisher of people, if he's going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it means, beyond all doubt, that he has to have a strong prayer life. So Jesus prays, and here I'm moving from Matthew's gospel to Mark's gospel, if you're following me in the Bible. Mark 14, verse 36. Jesus says, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." What is a cup? It is that cup of suffering that we have just described. But notice how he begins, how he addresses the Father. "Abba, Father." That's the way the children used to address their fathers or mothers. "Abba, Father." "Abba, Mother." What did it mean? It meant that the child in that home had an intimate fellowship with the parent. So it is with our Lord. It's as a child coming. "My Father." There has to be a relationship there. You know, friend, I don't believe we can have very much of a prayer life until we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean we can't have any. And I don't mean that we will not utter our petitions to God. "Help me. Help me." But the closer we come to him in our relationships, the more personal will be the prayers that we utter and their requests. For here, Jesus is turning everything over to his Father, and he's saying to him, "Father, it's up to you. I've come this far. I have finished the race," he could almost have said. "Now it's up to you. My preference is, because I'm a human being and I don't like this suffering, that you might remove this cup from me. But it's up to you." We all have our Gethsemane experiences, don't we? I can tell you mine, and you can tell me yours. But that is not the important thing now. The important thing is to see how Jesus handles his experience in his hour of despair. Here we are learning from watching Jesus in that difficult hour. Where was he? He was on his knees in humility before his Father. And is it not true, friend, that that's where a disciple of Jesus Christ needs to find himself or herself on a very regular basis, in the presence of God, pouring out our hearts? Yours, my experiences of turmoil and physical and mental suffering can be different, but we find ourselves there beneath the cross of Jesus. He must have been thankful in this hour that his heavenly Father was with him. For what a comfort and strength it was to know that he had not forsaken him. His closest friends had fallen asleep. They had lost contact with him. I almost think that Jesus said, "Oh, while I'm disappointed, I understand your emotions have been really attacked also, and it's been very, very difficult for you. But I'm thankful that I don't have a God who forsakes me, but he is always there." I tell you, friend, deep into this Lenten season now, what a message it is for life's grimmest hours, when men and women are at their worst. I'm sure that you've all felt that lonesomeness when you feel like you stand by yourself, when those who you thought were really going to be with you and you could really count on suddenly disappear. They're not there. You're with a crowd of people, and you're bearing witness to Jesus Christ, and you know this is not going to be too difficult because I got Pete and I've got Mary, and they're just as strong in the faith as I am. And they're going to tell what they believe too. And so when somebody turns and asks them, do you really believe that this Jesus is the only way to heaven, as has been pointed out by your friend here? And then they turn around and say, well, we appreciate his conviction, and we think that it is the ideal. Those diplomatic words mean nothing more than, I have been betrayed when I needed you the most. Where were you? Where were you? But that's what Jesus went through. And so he says to them, come on now, let's get going. You fell asleep, and now you will scatter, but my God goes with me. And with that conviction, our Lord Jesus Christ said, let us be gone. He could well have heard the psalmist's words, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Peter isn't your refuge and strength. John is not your refuge and strength. God is. And as his son, go with him. How often the Gethsemane scene is replayed. The trials of life are too great. We cannot face them alone. But the Christian learns that to be a dynamic witness for the Lord and to go through the trials and temptations of walking in a sinful world as one who bears witness and allegiance to Jesus Christ, it is absolutely necessary that we have a strong prayer life. And so it was with Jesus, and so it is with the saints of every age. Henry Leite has written a hymn that has blessed the souls of many. Abide with me. We sometimes sing this only in the evening, but I think it's far beyond just the morning and the night time. And so I don't know when you hear our program. For some it's early in the morning, for others it is later at night. But listen to the words of this famous hymn. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When others' helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. If you know that hymn as the musical group sings it, why don't you sing along with them and realize how important it is that we have a strong prayer life. Amen. Father, listen today to those who cry out to you in their hour of despair. Give us the grace to pray, Our Father, be with us. Hear what we have to say. And then, Lord Jesus, will you give us strength, whatever the answer is? For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Cassette tape CDs or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are pleased to make available to our listeners an exclusive CD or cassette, a treasury of Reverend Larson's 20 best-loved hymns. This special collection features beloved classics, including The Church's One Foundation, Great is Thy Faithfulness, How Great Thou Art, A Mighty Fortress, and A Beautiful Savior. These are free with any donation made on our website. This exclusive offer is sure to be cherished for years to come. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.